When Jesus said, "It is finished," it's an announcement to Satan and his cohorts.
The word of God is sure and steadfast. You can stake your life on it.
The devil was pumping with champagne bottle. He was celebrating and saying that everything is all right. Everything has been packaged. But on the third day,
the God I serve is the Almighty God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life. And that light was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. Somebody shout, there is power in the word of God.
Let's just celebrate the man of God, Pastor Matthew Ashimolowo, as he comes. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Come on, Clemite.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Wherever you are this morning, hearing the sound of my voice, may I ask you to raise one hand towards heaven as a point of contact with the Holy Spirit. Omnipotent power of mercy and grace, we receive your blessing today. Let the entrance of your word change our lives. Let it transform our mind. Father, we don't want information, we want transformation. Let your word change us. Let your blessing rest on us. We give you praise. This is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We open ourselves to all that you have for us today. Your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together to the King of all kings, Lord of lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. A for Alpha, B for Bread of Life, C for Christ, D Deliverer, E El Shaddai, F for the Father, G for God, H the High and Lifted One, I Am That I Am, J for Jesus, K for the King of Kings, L for the Lord of Lords, M for the Maker, N for the New and Living Way, O for Omega. Just give Him praise. Just give Him praise. Come on, bless His name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Want to thank God for the honor and privilege of being here to come and minister the word. I trust the Lord that you will really, truly be enriched and blessed in the name of Jesus. I want to celebrate the presiding bishop of this house and his dear wife. Thank God for the grace and the gift of God on their life. Yes, they needed a base. They needed a place as the founding visioners of Trem, but their calling is beyond this. They are the pastors of Nigeria, and we do not take that for granted. By that I mean they are pastors of pastors. They are spiritual eyes and spiritual voices into the nation, and they are the heartbeat of God for Nigeria. Please put your hands together and really celebrate them. Thank God for them. Let us bless God for them. For the amazing work they have done, for the achievement, for the consistency. Many people die by the roadside, but their work explodes every year because the path of a just man shines unto a brighter day. Thank God for them. Thank God for them, that we can look at them. You know, sometimes when you want to misbehave and you see some people who are ahead, then you remember and say, no, those people are watching you. I better behave. We thank God that we have this father and mother. That anytime you want to behave stupid, you just remember these people will call you to order. They will knock your head though. So just focus. Thank God. Amen. I said amen. Amen. My style this morning is going to be very different. I'm going to just teach. I have a real passion to raise champions, but particularly to raise people to succeed in the world of business and finance. So this morning, I'm going to try and teach. I share it briefly. I don't think I can cover all, but I'll be teaching on the 18 characteristics of kingdom millionaires. Why are some people really prosperous while some people are struggling? Why are some people blessed while some people are really challenged? Why are the unrighteous men, some unrighteous men, they just know the right thing to do and they are doing it and it's working. And then we have a person, he loves God, he serves God, he worships God, he praises God, he's exalting God. He even knows the Bible principles. Things are not working. Why so? These are some of the things I want to share with us. But God is positionally changing our location. I want you to know God's intention and desire is for the body of Christ to be prosperous in their business and prosperous in their income. I'm prosperous in their finance. I know I'm in a good house this morning. I know I'm in the place where I can be free to teach as I know in my spirit. Please do not be deceived. Let no man make you feel guilty if you believe that God intended for the body of Christ to prosper. The newspapers of Nigeria cannot fix our biblical agenda. They don't know enough and they are dabbling into what they do not know. There is enough in scripture to make us know that the desire of God is the prosperity of his people. He said he delights in the prosperity of his people. All of the Old and New Testament show very clearly God wants us to prosper. I'm the only person, as far as I know, that have produced a Bible on prayer. Out there in my book stand, there's a Bible on prayer with 15,000 prayer points. I've done all kinds of research on prayer. I'm an intense prayer man. But there are only 500 scriptures, direct and indirect, on prayer in the whole Bible. And there are 2,000 on finance. There are 1,641 scriptures on land in the Bible. Jesus spoke 37 parables. Parable is a story to bring out a truth. There are 1,000 subjects Jesus could have spoken a parable on. But out of the 37, he spent 23 speaking on biblical economics. And that is 61% of the parables of Jesus had to do with financial empowerment. Somebody say empowerment. 61%. Even the parables you and I as preachers use to make altar call and so on and so forth actually have to do with finance. Prodigal son collected his own inheritance before the father died. The parable of the lost silver is the woman's dowry that she was looking for. Parable of the talent. Talent in Bible times was not the ability to sing or dance. It was like a gold bar. And in today's money, the man who buried one talent actually buried $547,000. Let me ask you, if they gave you $547,000, how many of you can do good business with it? Let me see your hand. That's what the man buried. So, and then the parable of the lost sheep is actually serious biblical economics. The man left 99 to go look for one. Actually, he left the capital to go look for his profit. So we've got to understand that the desire of the Father is to prosper his people. But the teaching of the body of Christ for years have affected the church. There are young men and women who will have been a blessing, but they ended in the wrong religion. At the time of the growth of Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, having come out of poverty, he was going to a Buddhist temple to feed. The church did not look for him. So by the time he made it, he didn't care about Christ. And right now, Apple, after his death, is one of the wealthiest companies on earth. They have $200 billion they don't know what to do with. That's how wealthy. So what shall we say of Bill Gates? You see, God said, behold, I said before you what? No, he said before, I said before you open doors. He said, I give you open doors which no man can shut. When the church did not take those open doors, God gave Bill Gates windows. And it was windows that changed his story. So that he alone is worth about $50 billion. I believe, God, that somebody here will rise to a new level. There are too many Christians who are waiting for luck. And in Christ, we don't believe in luck. We believe in Christ. There are those waiting for an inheritance, maybe from a wealthy parent or uncle. But your parents are going to the gym. They want to live long. So how long are you going to wait for? There are Christians who cannot, they can't survive until the next paycheck. And really, when I teach these principles, I let people know, if you cannot survive 3 months without a salary, you are poor. If you can't survive 3 months without a salary, you are poor. Many are judging themselves by maybe what they have right now. They are judging themselves by their car and think, I'm okay. Many are judging themselves by what they are consuming and not what they are investing. Many are judging their own future by the systems in which they found themselves. Some of us are also experiencing a disruption in the flow of our money. You see, because money is a flowing thing. That's why they call it currency. It has a current. Some people have low current. Some people have high current. And some people have no current at all. That's why they call it currency. It flows. And God wants to put a lot of it in your hand. This ministry needs you to be prosperous. So that next time it wants to open up a church in Libreville, Cameroon, two people will just say, Bishop, please don't make an announcement. How much do you need? That day is coming in this house. And the people who will do it are here right now. But many have been stopped by six things. Habits, demonic activity, people in their lives, fear, laziness, and intimidation. These things are stopping us from prospering. But I am believing God that somebody here, God is raising you to new levels. I said, God is raising you to new levels. So this morning, I want to share with you 18 characteristics of kingdom millionaires. 18 characteristics. These characteristics, we may have heard them one here, two there before. There is no secret to financial success. It is very clear. It's just that many times people don't bring all the principles together and run these principles. And by the way, as I teach this afternoon, I'd like you to know that the 18 characteristics of kingdom millionaires is also the same principle for business success. And having been in the ministry 40 years, I can say, apart from the anointing and the power and the word, the same principles apply for ministry success. The same principles. God does not do things disorderly. He wants to bless his people, but his people must learn how to honor the word, how to obey the word, and how to prosper through the word. They must know the things that will work for them. And I believe, God, that somebody here is coming into a great season. There are many people out there who are not born again, and they seem to have something in their hand. They are making a difference. So why should Christians struggle when their father owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills? Well, not just 1,000 hills. Their father also owns the hill on which the cattle are standing. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And all this noise about they are finishing all the resources of the earth. From time immemorial, they've been saying that, and yet man have not discovered everything. new discoveries are made every day. And I believe that there must be a transfer of wealth. There must be a transfer of blessing. There must be a transfer of favor. So let me share these 18 characteristics. I'll stop wherever I can. Number one, all kingdom millionaires, all those who make it in the realm of financial breakthrough, they dream big dreams. They dream great dreams. That's number one. They dream great dreams. They dream great dreams. Firstly, God spoke to our bishop that this is the place to build a church. But then he had a great dream. A church that can seat thousands. The water in this place did not stop him. The marshy ground of Bagada did not stop him. The difficulty of Omonila in Lagos did not stop him. And I am very sure, if it were not the colossal name he has, the government will try to stop him. Because gradually, many governments are becoming more church unfriendly. More and more church unfriendly. But dreaming great dreams is the first step in financial breakthrough. You've got to have a dream that is bigger than you. If your dream is not bigger than you, it cannot become something that challenges you. It has to be a dream which, when you tell your neighbor, they think you are crazy. It has to be the kind of dream which, when you shared it with your neighbor, they thought, how can this be? And you've got to understand that when God wants to prosper you, one of the things he does is to bring you into a situation where you are faced with a battle you cannot win yourself. Don't forget that. Every time God wants to prosper a man, he makes him to face a battle he cannot win by himself. Dream great dreams. Awesome dreams. Major dreams. The kind of dream which, when your neighbors hear, when your friends hear, they will wonder what you were thinking about. And you can tell them, I'm going somewhere, I know what I'm doing, and I know that I will get there. Dreaming great dreams is what sets aside certain people from their regular friends, from those who are around them, from the people who think they will never become anything. Dreaming great dreams is what changes your platform, gives you the opportunity to become the best that you could ever become. Dreaming great dreams is what changes your level, and then it takes you to the place where one day they will hear from you. I believe there are people in this service today, the world will hear from you. The world will hear from you. I say again, the world will hear from you. Before I continue in this teaching, I need to quickly let you know, don't ever believe that statement out there that, oh, there's no more money. No, every day somebody is becoming a millionaire in Nigeria, and you are about to join them. Because your heart is to serve the Lord, you are about to join them. There is no lesser abundance on earth. There is more abundance. There is more creativity. There is more idea. There is more favor in the world today than there has ever been. Even poverty has been redefined in Nigeria. What they call poverty now was riches 20 years ago or 25 years ago. Now, if you are poor, it means, say, you poor or you deride Okada. But when we were kids, if your father bought a rally bicycle, people would travel to come and see it. The advert of rally bicycle on radio that time, rally cycle, was big. Even I can't get Grundy radiogram for my house. Osanobua. People will be coming from far. And I was, one day I was telling my boys that to watch television, you have to go like maybe 7 houses, 10 houses, black and white television. And you go stand outside though, behind their window, they watch. If their children don't like you, they go draw the curtain.
So what they call poverty now, that time, it was riches. There is a new abundance in this nation, and your portion is coming to you. I said your portion is coming unto you. For somebody here today, this will be your convention of turnaround, your convention of change, your convention of testimony, your convention of favor. God will make things come into your hand. Fear will not stop you. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but that of power and a sound mind. Any kind of lie will not stop you. The attacks of men will not stop you. Every bad seed they threw into your heart before you got born again will not stop you. As many of us, what we are fighting with, we don't see it, is the voices in our head. Voices from our dad, voices from our mom. Voices that say, if you get anything, hide it, or keep it, or don't have too much, or don't let anybody see you. And we're playing with voices in our head. Today you will rise above those voices. I said you will rise above the voices. So the number one characteristic of kingdom millionaires is that they dream great dreams. What do I mean? A great dream is such that you will be motivated. You know what you want to achieve in the next 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Great dreams include defining your financial great dreams. Because when you ask some people, how many want to prosper? They'll say, me, oh, how prosperous? How much? They have never said $5 million by the time I'm 65. $5 million by the time I'm 70. They have no clear. They have never defined it. They just speak. Dream great dreams. See yourself in the place of happiness, the place of wholeness. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let me reemphasize, you must ask yourself precisely, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be in 5 years' time? Where? And never let anyone define you. Never. Never let anyone define you. There will be people out there who will say, why should Christians prosper when some people are suffering? When some people are living in poverty? A man will continue to live in poverty for three or four reasons. I have a book out there on overcoming the spirit of poverty. One, poverty is a spirit. Two, poverty is a mindset. This is concrete. The day they pour the concrete, within a few minutes, it's set. Some people, you put millions in their hand. Come back in 10 years' time, they are broke. Why? Because the money and their mindset does not match. There's another book out there called 33 Laws of Wealth Creation. And I told the stories of people who had millions in their hand and they lost it. If you don't know any of them, you will know Mike Tyson. By the time he was 36, he had made $360 million. $360 million in Naira. If he was a Nigerian, they would make him the Ezeego of Ezeego one of Asia Mobiato. But by the time he was 40, he was broke. Can you believe that? By the time he was 40, he was broke. Why? He was raised in the most intense poverty. And although he punched his way to wealth, he did not have these principles we are sharing for perpetuating the wealth. Because there's a point in life when money itself gives back to money. And you don't have to do anything. But he didn't know that. So he bought a Rolls Royce for every color of suit. Yellow suit, yellow Rolls Royce. Black suit, black Rolls Royce. And each Rolls Royce, the cheapest Rolls Royce, is 100 million naira. One car, 100 100 million naira. And then he had all kinds of bodyguard and hangers. How can a bodyguard, how can a boxer have bodyguard? Have you ever seen lion with protocol around him? Number two characteristics of those who break into the realm of financial breakthrough, those who achieve in business and ministry, those who become kingdom millionaires. Number two characteristic is that they do what they are passionate about. They do what they are passionate about. They do what they are passionate about. If you walk where you don't like, with people you don't like, earning a salary you don't like, living a life you don't like, eating the food you don't like, you will die the death you don't like. Passion is what will make you to meet 10,000 lions and tell them, you can't move me. I'm called to do this thing. Never take a walk like this for granted. The bishop has fought the 7 levels of spiritual warfare, and level 7 is dragon. Dragon, serpent, false brethren. False brethren. Merchandisers of anointing. But when you are passionate, let them do what they do, you don't move. You stay. When you are passionate, nothing can get you out of town. When you are passionate, you can turn your passion to a source of income. If you see life as a mere vocation, you will never break through. If you see life as just work and eat, you never break through. You've got to be passionate, and then that thing will work for you. One of the biggest challenges of Africa, according to a guy called Etongo Manuel, is that apart from 4 or 5 tribes in the whole of Africa, the Bamilekes of Cameroon, the Igbos and Yorubas of Nigeria, the Kikuyus of Kenya, he said, apart from those tribes, every tribe in Africa is subsistent in its thinking. What does that mean? The average African, apart from the 4 tribes I mentioned, they just want to survive. All they want is survival. Why are you working? Man, go survive now. How is life? We are managing. And that's exactly how our people think. So when they go to school in order to get a job. They get a job in order to survive. And when they get a job, there's no passion. Their life can be turned in circle. Wake up in the morning, rush to work, come back home, have some food, watch television, go to bed. Wake up in the morning, rush to work, come back home, have some food, watch television, go to bed. Wake up in the morning, rush to work, come back home, have some food, watch television. No passion. And then they wonder, hey, I don't know which devil they worry me. No devil they worry you. Devil not even know say you exist. Let me give you a shocking theology. A shocking theology. 99.99% Christians have never met the devil. You say, where did they get this preacher from? We say 99.99 Christians have never met the devil. No, you've never. He does not know you. You are not his size. The devil only fought and spoke to 4 people in the Bible. Adam and Eve, that's number 1. Job, that's number 2. Jesus, that's number 3. Then God himself. Who else? Tell me. I'm waiting.
Nobody. Most Christians only meet demons. Ah, they say na ekwensu, na in the world, ekwensu no say you even dey around us. Oh, you no go know devil, oh.